Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Hey, Sex with Simmery people. You should totally come join me at the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. It's August 1st through 3rd at Philomoka and Philly Camp. You can come out and see three nights of great Philly-based podcasts, and they're recording their shows live in front of you, the audience. The lineup for some of the shows includes Talkadelphia, Story Shuffle, Talking Nerdy, The Pincushion, Stark Raven Mad, Potent Brew, and of course me, Sex with Timmery, and more. Plus, there's going to be special guests, contests. I'm bringing pole dancers, y'all. There's going to be a whole lot of excitement. So find out more information about the shows and tickets at phillypodfest.com. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Timmery, and I am gigglingly delighted to introduce our guest today. Asha Lowe is an alt model, and she's also adorable. I wish you could see her right now. She's pretty much adorable. Welcome to the show, Asha.
Hey, thanks.
So one of the things we were just talking about was, okay, so among lunars, people, that's L-O-O-N, among people that like balloon porn, there's the poppers and the non-poppers. There's the people who, part of what is really interesting and arousing to them is the popping, the explosion of the balloon. And for other people, that would be like the worst thing ever. Like, you don't pop a balloon, that's the worst. And so naturally, Ash is like, oh yeah, and she has stories about it. So how often does this come up for you?
It doesn't come up that often. I'll have a few people come in, and they always have names, you know, that have balloons in the title. But I've done a few clips for sale videos that are balloon oriented, and really what I find interesting is it's a lot about the reaction. It's not really so much about the balloon popping or not popping. It's about the reaction of, you know, the anticipation of blowing up the balloon, and then, you know, watching the girl's face as she's like waiting for it to pop. And I guess that's really what the thing is. But for my birthday, of course, I've got a story for this. For my birthday, I blew up a lot of balloons. I can't remember how many it was, but I put prizes. I would write little prizes, like one would be a strip tease, or one would be five spankings, or you win a video or something. And I forgot what the amount was that I had them tip for it. But if they tipped, I would pop a balloon by sitting on it, and then they would win the prize that was inside of that balloon. And that was my birthday cam show on MFC.
That's awesome.
That's what I do. You got to keep it interesting.
So just to give people some background on why we're talking about this at all, what is your job? What do you do?
I am a webcam girl on My Free Cams. It's a really weird job to describe, because it's kind of a stripper. It's kind of, sometimes it can be kind of a therapist, because people just come and they want to talk to you and they want to have social interaction where they might not have, like they'll be stuck on a job or traveling and going from hotel to hotel, or just working so much that they don't have time to socialize, or they just want interactive porn. So it can be a little bit of anything, but that's what I do. I work on My Free Cams, and I've been doing it for about 3 years. I've been on MFC for a little over a year.
How did you get into that?
I've been an alt model for a very long time. I started on Suicide Girls when I was 19, and then moved on to Deviant Nation, which is no longer with us, and Burning Angel, which focused more on videos now, and they didn't take remote photo sets, and I lived in Kentucky, and God's Girls, which is the site that I'm still modeling for, and God's Girls developed a live chat feature that they ran through a site called On Her Cam, which is also no longer with us. But I started doing the live cam feature when I would get home from work. I worked at a porn store. I worked at an adult store. And I would get home from work late and just be bored but not want to go out. So I would get on live cam and talk to the members on God's Girls. And then I really liked it and kind of got hooked on it and decided to start camming for On Her Cam. And over the period of time that I was working for them, I realized that I was making more money there than I was at my actual job, so I cut the actual job out and started camming. And then On Her Cam went bad, because one of the owners started stealing money basically from people and the girls, so the site got shut down, and I went to MFC, My Free Cams, which is, it's been great. Like, I've had no problems with them whatsoever, and that's where I'm at now. So I've been doing that for a very long time.
So that's interesting that you bring up Suicide Girls, because how was your experience with them?
I was there from 2004 to 2007-ish. Mm-hmm. So when I left was around the time that all the controversy started with them suing the former burlesque girls and just causing a lot of problems, making really restrictive contracts. But up until that point, I had a great time. And God's Girls, which I'm on now, kind of reminds me of that period of time from mm-hmm. Suicide Girls, where it was just fun and friendly. There weren't as many girls as there are now. There's like thousands or whatever. So it was a little more closed, mm-hmm. It was a little more exclusive, and I had a good time up until it just went crazy.
There's a lot of controversy surrounding Suicide Girls. Yeah. Like, some of the concern was that they would use images to market other types of porn that the girls didn't necessarily want to be associated with, and like a lot of people were ending up putting a lot of effort into getting a shoot just to possibly get a job, so then their images would be out of their hands, and
now they do the SG Hopefuls thing. Mm-hmm. There was none of that when I was there, and there are girls that have waited 2 years to even be on Suicide Girls, and they're just giving pictures and content for free until that point. And it's like, I just don't get it. I don't get why at this point there's so many girls that you're just a number.
An American Idol of porn.
Yeah, and their contracts. When I left, they tried to get me to sign the new contract, and I wouldn't, so I left. And it basically, they own the name that you're modeling under.
Oh.
Yeah, so I've known girls that were on Suicide Girls with their real name, and they can no longer model for other sites under their real name because their name is owned. Yeah, it was a big mess. So I was just like, I'm just gonna back out of that.
They own your real name.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fascinating. Well, to model under.
Yeah. 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 Wow. And like, it was especially disappointing to me to hear that trajectory of what happened to Suicide Girls, and like, because the appeal of Suicide Girls was that it was so different, and like, the women that were on it had like more variety. There was more diversity. There was like, what was cool about it was that it didn't supposedly have the bullshit of, a very plastic, everybody has to look the same kind of bullshit modeling problem. And then it just broke our hearts, I guess.
Well, it just became a business. It's a big business.
Yeah.
And they're doing very well. And, I know that God's Girls, when God's Girls first started up, they had a lot of problems with Suicide Girls suing them over everything, like using the color pink, anything and everything. So it really did. It became a huge business, mm-hmm. which, I guess was really the whole point in the first place of starting a website. But it just, for the girls that were on there, it was such a change that we were just sort of like, eh. I know a lot of the SG models they're now on God's Girls, a lot of the older, like old school SGs. Mm.
So for you, how much of it is a business, and how much of it, because it sounded like you said you got hooked on it, so there's evidently more to it than just
fun.
The money.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really like, my job is great, really. I hang out in my underwear and talk to people all day, and my regulars in my chat room are awesome. They make me laugh. They can put me in a better mood when I'm in a crappy mood. We're a strange bunch in my chat room. There's people that come in and hang out every single night, and we have inside jokes from months back, and then new people coming in really like the atmosphere in my room because it's very conversational, very random. We'll be talking about anything. Last night we were talking about, like, we make a joke that I'll be on MFC until I die, and that somebody will buy like a True Private show, and that'll be my last breath, and they'll get to spend it with me on MFC.
What is a True Private show?
Well, the shows on MFC are, there's group, private, and then True Private. I'm in, basically the way the site works is I'm in public chat talking to people. I'll do like, people tip me and I'll do requests or like flash them or do a striptease or something depending on how much they tip. Sometimes I'll have a goal like this many tokens until my shirt's off, and people will tip and to hit that goal, or they can go into shows. If three people want to go into a private or group show, it has to be at least three users. It's something like 10 tokens a minute. I don't know these. I think it's 10 tokens a minute, and it'll keep going as long as one person is in there. And it's sort of, depending on how many people are in there, it can be like a tamer show because it's still a group show and it's less money to get in there. Mm-hmm. Or they can go private, which is one-on-one. It kicks everybody else out of the chat room, and then they've got me to themselves. And it's, I think that's something like 60 tokens a minute. And then in the difference between private and true private's a little more expensive. If you're in a private show, somebody can join under a voyeur chat, like they can watch mm-hmm. your show. They can't type, you can't see who's watching, but they can be in there watching your show. And in true private, you cannot watch. So there's little slight differences mm-hmm. between each show.
So one of the questions I immediately have is about, because I'm a dork, about the currency exchange rate,
right.
of course, of the tokens. Like, I'm reading more and more stuff about how this currency system is one of the most actually reliable and stable.
Yeah.
Online bitcoins, et cetera, are, like, more stable than the dollars of actual countries. So what are we talking about in other currencies, like American dollars? Like, how much does this translate to?
Tokens, for me, when I get my percentage, it's 20 tokens is $1 for mm-hmm. me. So when I figure out how much I make, I just take everything and divide it by 20 to figure out, you know, and I know there's certain amounts that are, like, stuck in my head, like 500 tokens is 25, and 1,000 is 50, and 2,000 is 100. Mm-hmm. And you sort of base your whole goal system off of that. But basically, the way it works is members will go in and buy packs of tokens, just like Subway tokens or whatever, and they can have those however long. They don't expire, so they can use them in any room, or they can just use them to tip out or buy private shows. So that's really how it works. I don't know. I know it's different for members, the currency exchange. Like, I only get, I think, 60% is what I make, something like 60%. So for them, it's each token is worth more than it is for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So did you do any live stripping before this or on the side or any of that?
I never worked at a club.
Okay.
I've done burlesque stuff mm-hmm. and go-go dancing and things like that. I do way more of it here because I was based out of Kentucky and there's really not a huge...
Not a scene?
Yeah, not a huge scene for that in Kentucky. Okay. But I've never danced at a strip club. I thought about it, but I don't really want to touch people. So that's sort of my issue. But then when I started, because I would love the dancing part. It's just not the actual touching and lap dancing and things like that that I wouldn't work for me. But this is great because I still get to do, it's very much, I'm just an entertainer.
Yeah.
I'm an entertainer, and I a lot more now that I've been on the site for a lot longer, and I've got more regulars, it is a little less sexual most of the time, and it's more just me entertaining people. Like, there are people that'll tip me because I make them laugh, you know, because I said something really funny that they thought was great, and they'll tip me for it.
This is interesting to hear because, like, for some girls that I've talked to who have done stripping in whatever capacity, the hardest part for them was the hustle of hanging out and, like, having to find things to talk about with somebody that may or may not be interesting to you.
Right.
But it seems like for you, that seems to be
it's pretty easy. It's so easy.
Yeah. Okay.
It's so much fun because I can really talk to anybody about anything. And a lot of the girls, well, I won't say a lot of the girls because there's thousands and thousands and thousands of girls on MFC. But for some girls, it's more based on the hustle of, like, well, just tip me, you know, tip me, send me tokens and I'll do something, you know. And for me, it's more like, let's have a good time and the tokens part comes later, you know. You don't really know what kind of a night it's going to be, and it really just depends on your mood. Like, if I'm in a friskier mood, my show and my public chat's going to be a little sexier and there's going to be more dancing or more whatever. If I'm sort of in a chilled mood, I'll be sitting there, you know, just like this, having a conversation, and then people realize, oh, hey, if I tip her, I can get her naked, and we can have this conversation naked. It's like, yeah, let's do it.
Do you find that in the group situation, like, are you totally in control of the conversation? Like, are you a moderator? Is there ever a time where it feels like there's a ganging up on you? Like, what is the dynamic there?
My regulars are awesome, and we're all kind of a strange bunch. I feel like what happened in my chat room is a lot of people with similar interests and similar senses of humor and just, I guess, similar attitudes found me. And then maybe told their friends that they knew on MFC to come into my chat room. And it's really strange. My chat room is such a strange place. I'm just thinking about the things we talk about. But what I've found is that if I go to a private show or something and I'm out of the room, I'll come back in the room and everybody is still there having conversations without me. They're just talking about, you know, like a video game that they played or a show they watched on TV. They'll stick around and talk without me there. Like, sometimes I'm totally unnecessary for them to have a good time in my room.
Oh, interesting.
Just because everybody sort of comes together. And they'll go to it's like virtual strip club hopping. You know, they'll go from room to room together. And I know that some people, one of my favorite regulars, Mr. Exley, he's hilarious. He went around to one of our other regulars. He would follow him from room to room and then tip the girls a lot of money and be like, it's from him. And so they would give him a ton of attention. And when this happens, because Mr. Exley will tip a lot. And then he had to actually kind of retire his screen name because girls found out that he was tipping that much and they would just hit him up as soon as he logged on. Like, girls he'd never spoken to would be like, hey, you know, come into my room and hang out. Or like, hey, do you want to buy a private show for me? Which I can't really get behind that. I mean, it's a hustle.
Yeah.
And I'm sure girls make a lot of money about that. But I never even thought about doing something like that. It's like chasing down people for potential tips.
So it's sort of like just any other online community, but there happens to be
absolutely
one thing that everybody's looking at.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't see them unless they tip me to turn on their cam, or if we go into a private show, I'll offer to turn on their cam if they want. But I don't see them. It's just like a chat room and I'm on a screen.
I think what's surprising to many folks when they hear about this stuff for the first time, and lots of different jobs along this whole spectrum, is how respectful people usually are.
And
you find that to be the case as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
A lot of the people that aren't respectful are guests or basic members, and there's three tiers of members. Guests, they don't have a screen name. It's just guest number, whatever number they are. They haven't signed up even for the site. So you can get on there right now, and if you can go into a chat room, you're a guest. Mm-hmm. You become a basic when you sign up for a screen name for free so that people can see your screen name and because I can talk to you. But that means you've never bought tokens. And then premium members are people that have bought tokens at least once. And if I'm in my chat room, I can mute basics and guests so where they can't type to me anymore. Mm-hmm. Only the premiums can. So that's sort of incentive. If they get really buggy or rude or whatever, I'll just mute everybody. But usually I don't mute people because you never know who's going to become a premium. So if I'm sitting there having a conversation.
Dynamic. The way that it's set up is much more to cultivate that kind of community. Because I think the cams where you're paying a set amount per minute, like there's sort of there's a motivation to like hurry up and get to the goods.
Yeah.
There was inadvertent experiment I was part of the sex and internet class, and before we talked to someone who worked cams, we just had as a group like, let's just go buy time with somebody and like talk to them. Like, a lot of people had just never done it before, and what was fascinating is this is a group of people who are generally very sex positive, very feminist for the most part, but we got caught up in this sort of like mob mentality of like, no, let's like, we want to like really want something to happen. Yeah. Like, we don't really want to have a conversation. And we were all like really aghast at ourselves when it was over. We're like, why did we turn into this unruly mob? I mean, we didn't get to like super rude, but like, I can see why that would happen.
Yeah.
Because like, her job is to make it last longer under those circumstances. And so like, I think your setup is just cultivated better.
It's really a great setup because, like I said, I can just be hanging out in a free chat for however long and people will still come through and tip. If nobody's tipping, especially like some of my regulars will come in and start tipping because they'll see that nobody's tipping and they're like, well, you know, here, you know, we know that you're here for this.
Yeah,
it's like no big deal. But what I've found is that when I'm like a basic or a guest, or sometimes even a premium member will come in and just say something rude right off the bat. They're just trolling. Mm-hmm. And that happens a lot, especially because you don't really have to be, you're supposed to be 18 to sign up, but it's not like you have to go through any kind of, you know, really severe screening process to get on MFC to look at things. So, I mean, a lot of them could just be kids. They could be like, you know, high school girls that are coming through to yell at models or call them names or whatever. It could be anything. It could be people that are just really bored. I honestly don't know who has the time to, like, troll the cam girls, but people do. They'll just go from room to room to room just saying really mean shit.
Oh, that the picture in my head of the person who would right? do that. Like, how
it's
sad
just
is
so
that?
Sad. Yeah. And my regulars will always gang before I even have a chance to see it. They'll all sort of like start yelling at this one person that's trying to troll me, and I'm like, guys, I can just kick them out of the room. Like, yeah. It doesn't. Just, everybody, calm down. Let's not feed the trolls. You know. Yeah.
So, how much money are we talking about, like on an average day?
On an average day, my goal every day that I get on there, and I might not hit that goal, but usually I get pretty close to it, is $100 every day.
Okay.
That's my goal. Like I said, some days are better than others, and it all depends on, there's a lot that goes into it. It depends on what sporting events are on TV.
Yeah.
Or what TV show is on at a certain time, or what time zone people are in that want to hang out with you, or summertime is actually usually pretty bad because of family vacations and kids home from school and things like that. So it's the Super Bowl, because if Super Bowl parties are happening and there's halftime or something.
Okay.
I always try to base my show, if there's something like Super Bowl, I would do maybe a Super Bowl themed show and be like, you know, have them bet money on their teams, or, and if their team wins, they get videos or something, or they'll get something special. You know, or wear some kind of cheerleader outfit. I don't know. Like, there's always ways to work with what's going on in the world, which I try to do. I got to keep it. If you're doing it for your job, you really have to do things like that to keep it interesting.
So what are interesting things that, like, have come up? So especially, like, in the course of, like, the privates and, like, semi-private sort of stuff. Like, what are we talking about? Like, what's going on in there?
Well, in free chat, I either usually have some kind of countdown goal, like 1,000 tokens until this happens, or sometimes I'll play games. Like, I have a match game that I play, and I actually, when I worked at the porn store, I got this from the porn store. It's this little game, and it's literally the match game, like the cards with the pictures on it, and it's all sexual. So there's things like, I know vibrator is one of the cards, and one of the cards is like massage oil, like oil show or whatever. One of them's ice cube. So I have them, I stick post-its with numbers on them on the back, and I have them tip to try to guess a match. Mm-hmm. And I'll flip over the cards, and if they get a match, they win, you know, whatever's on the card. Oh, like, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll do little things like that in free chat. If we go into group, group is normally some kind of strip-teasy oil show or, like, spanking show or something, just because there's so many people coming in and out of it that not everybody's going to be into the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And since it's 10 tokens a minute instead of the 60 tokens a minute that private show is, if there's six people in there, it'll go a lot faster because that's more money that I'm making.
Yeah.
And private shows, they can range from anything. I had one of my regulars, and this is what I talk about with my room being insane. One of my regulars had his very, very first private show ever with me because the idea was just too funny. He mentioned something about... you know, like the Elaine dance on Seinfeld.
Oh, God.
With the little kicks and the thumbs. Yeah. He said something about that, and I was like, yeah, I'll do that in private. And it was kind of jokey, but then he was like, no, really, that's happening. And so he took me into a private. This was actually true private, I think, so nobody could spy. He took me into a private show, and, like, that's what we did, because it was hilarious. It's just like, were you just dying laughing the whole time? He's like, that made my whole day. So awesome.
They can see you, but you can't see anybody, right?
I can't see them unless they ask me to.
Oh, okay.
And I can turn on their cam. I can't hear them talk, but I can see them. I think they'll still have to type. And a lot of where that comes into play, a lot of the small penis humiliation guys, or like the, you know, humiliation fetish guys, they love when I turn on their cams because they know that I'm looking at them and it makes it more real, you know? And I actually surprisingly get a lot of small penis humiliation requests. Apparently, I'm really good at it.
Nice. Can I get a sample?
Basically, when I go into a small penis humiliation show, it's like the attitude has to change. So, like, this is really a good example because I'm sitting here talking to you, right? Mm-hmm. And then I would go into a small penis humiliation show, and all of a sudden I would be like, you pathetic fucking loser. I would never fuck you in a million years with your tiny cock. Like, what do you think you're going to do with that thing? You can't please me with that thing. I need a real man with a big boy pit, big boy cock, you know. But it has, you have to change your attitude like that. And it really works for me because I have a background in theater. Like, I have a degree in theater. So it's really fun when I get shows where I want to role play or do things like that because I get to do something that's very similar to acting, you know.
So how common is that?
Very common. Actually, like, SPH shows are really common, like surprisingly common.
And is that the case for most girls, or do you think that your particular skill set has led you to get a lot of
requests? I have no idea. I know that people really like my shows like that because they also like to hang out in free chat because I'm nice to them. And then they want me to go into a public or private show and be mean to them. And they know that I'm not really a mean person, but okay. I can give them that fantasy. So I know that they really like...
Are there any other fantasies where you have to be, like, degrading to the person or say mean things?
I get a lot of humiliation fetishes and, like, a lot of cum-eating instructions or jerk-off instructions, which aren't really... Those don't have to be degrading. But sometimes they like it more when it is.
So they just want you to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
And then it may or may not have a hint of...
Yeah, I just take it to where they usually tell me.
Okay.
I mean, they'll usually tell me if they want me to be mean to them or not. And I'm like, okay, I'll be mean to you, sure. It's usually the nicest people, too, which is, I would love to get a troll that wanted a small penis humiliation show or something. That would be the best show ever.
In real life, do you encounter partners who want this kind of treatment?
Not really. Actually, I'm very submissive in real life as far as sex goes. I prefer to be the sub, and maybe it's because I'm such a dominant person, you know, with my online personality, and that's really the case with a lot of people that are into small penis humiliation or degrading fetishes and things like that. They want something that's different from their real life. So you get a lot of men that are in really high powered jobs. And they have a lot of control, and they have to have a lot of control in their life, and they want that complete opposite dynamic for a release.
Interesting.
It's very interesting, yeah.
What are some of the other trends that you notice among requests?
Let's see. Trends in my room, because everybody's going to have a different thing. Of course, feet are always, you know, people come in and want to see your feet and want feet shows. I've noticed a lot of armpit shows, which is different. They come to me because I'm really good with camera angles, and I always tell them, I'm like, if I can find something sexual about it, I will give you the best possible show, because I'll move my camera around. If you want an armpit show, I'm gonna take my camera, I'm gonna like trail it along the curve of my armpit, you know, I will make it really, really good, because I know that that's what you're looking for, you know. And if there's something that I can't find sexual, then I won't do it. But other than if I can find any reason that it might be sexual, and like if I can get it at all, I'll give you a really good show.
So armpits, for instance, like, is it all about the curve? Are you, like, using things on the curves? Like,
sometimes, mostly they just, you know, they want to see it. Like, they want, you know, they want, if you can, like, make it concave and, like, of course, there's, like, armpit licking and, like, sometimes they want you to sniff your armpit, but it's mostly about the shape and the way it looks. And
so is it, like, because what immediately pops into my head is, like, that the folds of flesh are kind of like a vulva in some ways.
Possibly. And I think that's what I take from it. Is okay. Like, I can see why you would find an armpit sexy. You know, like, when you think about it right off the top of your head, you're just like, that's, why would anybody think an armpit sexy? But then when you really start to think about it, you're like, okay, I guess I can kind of get it. It's same thing with feet, you know. Yeah. It's like, I can get it.
The parallels there, like, especially with armpits, like, because they have a very distinct smell, which sometimes can be really bad, sometimes can be really good. And I kind of get that. And
it's very earthy, and it's very much, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of pheromones that come through in your body odor and things like that. So, yeah, I can totally get it.
Yeah. There's so much chemistry going on
there. Like, it really is.
Like, you're not even consciously necessarily thinking about it, but, like, your brain is super nuts about it. But when you're doing cam, like, they don't get any of those senses. It's all visual.
It's a lot of imagination.
Okay.
And which is a lot of what camming is. It's this fantasy, and it's interactive porn, which is, I think, the most important thing to remember about camming is that that's exactly why people are there. You know, there's porn everywhere. You know, you can get online right now and find free porn all over the place. Mm-hmm. What people are paying for is that I can say their name, I can talk to them, they can talk to me, and I'll even do shows where if I'm using a vibrator, I'll let them tell me. I'll let them control the speed, basically, and have them, like, turn it way up all the way, and then right when I'm at the point where I'm about to come, they'll turn it off, and, like, we'll do an edging show. Like, that's a really popular thing.
So are you using, like, a teledildonic sort of situation, so they're physically controlling it, or
they'll
just tell you?
They'll tell me to turn it up, turn it down, stop, or, like, they control the angles. They control every aspect of what they see.
How would you feel about using like a teledildotic situation where they're actually physically
controlling it? That would be awesome.
Controlling it, okay?
That would actually be really awesome. I think that would be really fun. I think the reason I enjoy my job so much is because I love to masturbate. I mean, and that's what I do for a living. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful job.
That's not too bad.
It's
yeah.
the best job ever.
You can dig ditches.
Yeah.
Masturbate.
You can masturbate.
Yeah.
So I actually do have a lot of fun when I have somebody that's a really, like, I had a show where a guy wanted me to put a vibrator in my panties and just lay on my stomach and hands off, you know, and just lay there and basically, like, wanted to watch me move around to try to, like, control it. And it was a really intense, it was a good show, you know. It's when people are creative, when they come to me and they have requests that I wouldn't normally think to do, or they, you know, and also I like being watched, so that's a big part of it too, you know. It's a really, it's a big turn on for me to have that aspect of it, you know, like there's somebody that's watching me and telling me what they want to see me do.
And is it always just you? Do you ever have any other like people on screen with you?
Yeah. Okay. It's weird. I'm creating a lot of little cam girls. It's wonderful because they'll see me do it and they see the success that I'm having, and then they'll talk to me about it like this, and then they'll be like, well, I want to try it, because they're also models or burlesque dancers or whatever. So a lot of the time when people want to get on cam for the first time, they'll come over to my house and sort of get on with me and, you know, play games or what do? We did a Clear the Board game. Clear the Board is a game that we play a lot on cam, and it's you write the numbers 1 through 100 on a dry erase board and have people tip those numbers off. And then I usually do it behind like 3 or 4. There's an extra prize, like you win a video or a striptease or spankings or something. And then when the board is clear, like maybe I'll do a cum show in public chat, which people wonder why girls would do that. They're just like, it's free. Why, you know, I can get on there and see them do that. But what they don't realize is they've already made a set amount of money before they start doing that. Mm-hmm. And what I find is that if I do hit a goal and I do a cum show in public, I'll make double that money because people will come in and start tipping because they think that they're like, oh, this is great, you know, and they'll start tipping. But yeah, I'll have models over. I had 2 models over. Actually, this month has been crazy for models coming over and camming with me. I've had like 4 girls that have come over and cam with me in the past month. That's crazy.
What is the community like of cam girls? Like, do you know, other than the people who came to you to learn about it, do you know a lot of other people who do it? Do you talk with other people from your site?
Actually, I do, because a lot of them are also God's Girls, a lot of the ones that I know. On Her Cam, which was really nice about On Her Cam, is that we had a models forum that we could go in, and it was only models that could see it, and it was all the girls that worked on Her Cam, and we could tell each other, like, okay, well, this member is really nice, you know, you can be nice to him, and he'll usually tip you well. And like we're like the total opposite. This member is a real jerk. If you see him, kick him out of your room immediately. Like, you don't even want to deal with them. There's not anything like that on MFC, but a lot of us talk on God's Girls. Like, a lot of the God's Girls models that I know talk and kind of share tips and tricks and things like that. And there's a forum, Amber Cutie forum, that's only for MFC models. And it's the same kind of thing. Like, we'll share tips and games that we like to play that work and just ideas and kind of – sometimes we just bitch about cam girl life, because sometimes it's just like any other job, and it's – it's like, if you really don't feel like it, but you need to make the money, like, you're going to have to go on there and entertain people. In the mood to do it, and then I get on there, I just start having so much fun that I'm like, okay, well, I'm glad I got on here tonight. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like sex in general. Like, when people are talking about, you know, my partner and I, like, we don't get it on very much anymore. And one of the things that sex therapists often suggest is like, horniness is kind of like hunger. Like, you may not have been sitting there thinking that you're hungry, but like, if somebody brings out the food, you might be like, hey, you know what, that does sound like a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, it's more a matter for me as if I want to be around people or not, because sometimes you don't want to be around people, you just want to like hang out and watch TV by yourself. And camming is basically like being the center of attention in a room full of people. I mean, that's exactly what it is. So sometimes you gotta motivate yourself to be ready to entertain people and talk to people when you don't really feel like being around people. But then, you know, you get in there and it's like, okay, well, it's basically like if you don't feel like going out, and then you do go out, you make yourself go out, and then you're just like, okay, well, I'm glad I'm here, you know.
And then among the community of cam girls, like, it's largely collaborative. Like, it sounds like it's mostly good. Is there any drama, any, like, competition?
Oh, there's a lot of competition. And I don't encounter it a lot because I've blocked models from coming into my room, which I wasn't going to. And then I didn't for a long time. And I would have girls that would come in and advertise their rooms in my room.
That's annoying.
Yeah. It's kind of tacky, right? Like, don't do that. So I, and models will do that. And you've got all kinds of different types of girls on there. It's so many girls on MFC that you can't really, I don't know. You can't really hate on people for doing what they do to make money, but I don't need it in my room. So I just block them, but I haven't encountered any drama at all from other cam girls other than like that happening.
So there's lots of different girls who like to appease like all different types of appetites, like all different interests. Like, is there somebody that's just like sitting there reading like British literature? Like,
I'm sure there is. Yeah. Like, I'm sure there is. I mean, it can range from, I mean, really anything. There are literally so many fetishes in this world that anything is sexy to somebody, you know? So there are girls that'll really just sit there. I've seen girls that'll sit there and they're working or something, or they'll be answering emails or something, and they just have their cam on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very voyeuristic, I suppose, that people are just watching this girl answer emails or something, and then maybe they'll tip her and she'll pay attention to the screen.
It sort of harkens back to Jenny Cam from back in the day, where people just watched this woman exist.
Yeah.
Like, just watched her, like, eat food and hang out in her apartment. And, like, it wasn't even sexual. I don't think she really, I mean, I think she had a boyfriend or something. She had this webcam for years.
Yeah.
And I think she had a boyfriend, and I feel like they probably had sex in her apartment during the course of it. But yeah, it was just like, just look at her life.
Yeah, it's super voyeuristic, which is one of my favorite fetishes. I love voyeurism fetishes. I think it's great. But with things like Jenny Cam, it's very much just like you're spying on somebody. And of course that can be sexual, you know, and she's allowing it to happen, so you're not feeling too guilty about it. But at the same time, there's that guilt that's like, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be watching her, you know, eat breakfast, you know, and she doesn't know that I'm there.
So it's like a fulfillment of a Peeping Tom sort of idea.
Without having to actually be really, really creepy and go spy in somebody's window.
Yeah, making somebody feel shitty about it. Yeah, that is entirely the difference for me of whether something's okay or not.
Yeah.
Is whether or not someone consents. And so, yeah, if you've consented
to
it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Voyeur it up.
Yeah. No, totally. And I think a lot of the cam girl life is about voyeurism. You know, you're allowing somebody into your room to talk to you and watch you masturbate. I mean, or dance like Elaine sometimes.
Yeah.
Doing what you need to do.
So you've probably been introduced to some fetishes you hadn't heard of before. Like, what are some things that you've learned about that you previously were unfamiliar with?
Armpit one was actually kind of a new one to me. Yesterday I had somebody, and it was a humiliation fetish, but this was a totally new one for me. It was, he wanted me to humiliate him and make fun of him about his jiggly butt. Right? And I was like, okay, that's a totally different one for me, but sure, you know, that's kind of similar to SPH, but a little variation on the theme. I'm trying to think of other fetishes that I hadn't heard of. Somebody once said they had a female Adam's apple fetish, which doesn't, I guess they just mean this, like.
So they mean, like, your trachea?
Yeah, or I don't know. Mean, they just wanted to see, like.
Among trans women?
No, they always went to girls.
Okay.
So they would ask for it. I think they just basically meant, like, a throat fetish. Okay. Like, they just want to see the shapes and, like, the way your throat moved. But they kept saying female Adam's apple, and I was like, that's not
a thing.
That's not a thing. But this person was one of those people that would never tip or like never add tokens, so he would just keep coming back and asking, and I kept being like, you know, if you really want this, like, you're gonna have to tip me for it, but otherwise, like, I have no idea what to give you, because that's a weird fetish to ask for. I don't get that one. Clips for Sale actually has taught me more about fetishes than I'll ever credit anybody else for, because they just have a category of fetishes that you can browse for videos. Like, bubblegum is one. That's all it says. It just says bubblegum. And I guess there's a million different ways to take that. And
what does that mean?
Well, the way I take it, because when I do Clips for Sale videos, I'll go and look through the categories and be like, okay, well, that seems interesting. I can try to do a video about that. So with me, I guess bubblegum, because I kind of want to do bubblegum. I think it would be a fun one, is, you know, blowing bubbles and getting like sticky, like peeling it off your face and maybe stretching the gum. But that's the way I take it. So that's what a video I would make.
And well, I'm sure that'll still work.
It would still work for somebody. I'm positive.
That's definitely going to happen.
Toothbrushing was one that... toothbrushing fetish. But then again, I was like, I'll do this one. And I did a video, and it's actually a pretty popular one. People buy it a lot, but it's brushing your teeth and just drooling toothpaste. And
do you ever have any judgment about the things that people request?
Not really. The only ones that I won't do, if there's any kind of incestual requests, like I want you to pretend like I'm your dad, I'll be like, No, that's not going to happen for me. Because again, if I can't find it sexy, I won't do it. And sexy, you know, if I can't find it sexual, then I won't do it. So any kind of like incestual role play, a lot of bodily fluids, you know, no shit, no vomit. You're really not allowed to do pee or blood or anything like that on MFC anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of rules. You have to sign contracts that say you won't do these things on cam. And
are there other... like really big limitations or
well, there's a fetish that, this is actually a new fetish too that I didn't realize, a crushing fetish, where it's like the animals, like small animals and things like that, which seems ridiculous. Like,
yeah, there's a whole spectrum. Like, some of the crushing stuff I've seen is actually quite innocuous, and it's mostly like women in heels, like, and they'll stomp on a, you know, thing of toothpaste and just destroy it, or they'll step on, you know, like a stuffed animal and destroy it, or and then it starts escalating and you'll see crushing bugs. And then what gets really really upsetting, at least for me personally, is the idea of harming like an actual live animal. And there's, I mean,
I've seen it and it's awful.
It's
awful.
Not my kink, and I will judge it.
That, so when things get like that, I'll totally judge it. But it takes a lot for me to get to that point. You know, obviously that's a very extreme case. So I don't really judge too harshly. And even, you know, like I always say, like, I won't do incestual fetishes where it's like, you know, I'm your daughter. I'll go and do stepdaughter though. You know, if I can kind of see where that can be sexy in a weird way, you know, or like at least somebody's fantasy that's like, I mean, the whole movie Taboo, like the series Taboo was based on that kind of stuff. Yeah, very Brady Bunch kind of stuff. And it's a little, I don't know. Like, I don't judge it because I understand it. You know, and some girls I know wouldn't even go there. But I'm just like, okay, well, it's really, really kind of dirty. But that's why I kind of like it. You know, it's the dirtier the better sometimes. And those kind of fetishes, I'll be like, okay, well, I get where you're coming from.
If somebody offered you more money for something that you felt uncomfortable about, like, would that change your mind? Do you just have hard lines? Like,
there are lines that I won't cross, and I'll go pretty far. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty open about the things that I'll do and the things that I'll explore with people. But if there's lines that I won't cross, then I just won't cross them, because there's nothing, you know.
Have you regretted anything that you've done? And somebody asked you to do and you thought it would be okay and then it didn't work out?
I really haven't had any of those kind of encounters. I had to stop doing Skype, because some girls will offer Skype shows. And what I found is Skype is really not my thing, because one, it's kind of a personal thing. Like, I would Skype with somebody that I was dating, and it just brings it too much like that. It's too much like a real relationship. And then when that happens, those guys start getting expectations sometimes, like, maybe you're gonna meet one day, or maybe you can give me your phone number. And like, it's like, no, that's a line I'm not gonna cross. And also with Skype, I found that because I can hear them, they can talk to me as well as just see me, some of them get kind of verbally abusive. They get a little overly rambunctious and get to the point of a little bit of verbal abuse, and that is really distracting. And also sometimes people are just really bad at dirty talk. And so they try to do it, and I have to pretend like it's like I'm into it. And it's just so distracting that I can't even go there in my head.
Try not to laugh in their
face. Yeah. Try not to laugh at them. Try not to like just totally be distracted and then have to fake it, you know, and be like, oh, that was great. It's not really though. So I don't offer Skype I do offer it, but you have to at least have had 3 private shows with me on MFC first, so I kind of know you a little bit better, and like then I'll do Skype shows with you. But yeah, for the most, like, I tried doing Skype for probably about a month or so, and then was like, okay, I can't. I just really hate doing it. Every time somebody would request Skype, I would be like, and I'd be like, okay, well, obviously, if I feel like that, I should not be doing it.
So you mentioned a little bit about how Skype was too real. So how much does this bleed into your real life? Like, is there a lot of crossover, or are they compartmentalized entirely?
There's a lot of crossover. I don't tend to give out my phone number. You know, like, if there's somebody that, like, for example, somebody that tips really big and I do schedule a Skype show with them, like Mr. Exley, who's been my highest tipper ever, he tipped me for nothing, you know, and it was a huge tip. And I was like, well, we should do something. Like, you know, I want to do something for you. So we got on Skype and watched Troll 2 together. That's what we did. So, like, I would give him my number because I know he's very respectful and I never hear from him. But we just to sort of schedule a time and be like, okay, well, are you awake? Do you want to do this now? And, like, I would do that. But people want to tip me to give me or give me to give them their my number. God, I can't talk. And I just won't do it. Or meeting. I never meet people. Like, people have offered, they're like, would you meet up with me for the right incentive? And I'm like, no, that's not really, I don't use the site to date. You know, I meet people by meeting them in real life, as opposed to meeting them off of my free cams, which is the weirdest place ever that you would expect to meet somebody in real life.
What would you do if, like, you're just out, like, wherever you go out, and somebody recognized you and acted like they didn't know you, but you found out later they knew?
They,
like,
know.
How would that make you feel?
I really wouldn't be too bothered by it. I'm not really too bothered by getting recognized, because obviously it's a very public thing that I do. But if I recognized or was recognized by any of the regulars in my room, it would be awesome. Like, I'd go and hang out with them and drink beers with them, and it would be great because I know a little bit about their personality. It's just everybody's so scattered that that's not really probably going to happen.
Do you know where people are?
I know where some people are, okay. Yeah. I don't know where everybody is, but I have a pretty good idea. Like, we're all friends on Twitter. Oh. We're all friends on Instagram. You know, we'll tweet at each other off cam. Because we're friends. I mean, it's a friendly situation, and we do make each other laugh, and we have a good time. So it is very, very much bleeds into real life. You know, like, I consider people on MFC my friends. Mm-hmm. Like, my regulars, they're also my friends. I always call them frans, because they're, like, friends and fans. And I don't want to say, like, oh, well, my fans, and then, like, well, my friends. And it's, like, it's two different worlds, but they kind of blend together. But yeah, like, there's some people that, if I saw them in real life or they recognized me in real life, I would just be like, shit. You know, like, that's not what you want. Just because possibly fuck me anyway, because that they're, like, there for porn. So, yeah, it's a really weird dynamic in my room because everybody's so friendly, and it's, like, it's basically like hanging out at a bar or something with all these friends that you know and you see every day. But at the same time, there's that aspect where this is a porn site, and when it comes down to it, like, it's going to be pornographic at some point in this room.
And do the people that you date in real life, do they have any sort of feelings on this matter? Like,
they really can't. I mean, that's sort of what I say to them. I'm like, if you have a problem with it, then I can't date you. I mean, it's my job. Like, And even if the person that I was, you know, dating in real life would be like, well, I could pay the bills or whatever, I would be like, I really like camming, though, and I like making my own money. So it would be, that's an issue that it has to be up front, and you have to be okay with it, or you can't date me.
So has everybody been cool?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Everybody's been cool. And I tend to be with a lot of people in the industry, and that's the reason. Or at least people that are around people in the industry. So, like, people that go to go-go dancing all the time. You know, if I'm at the bar go-go dancing and I see them, they obviously know what my job is. And I would be way more likely to date somebody there, because if I meet somebody anywhere else in the world, they could have a problem with what I do.
How about the rest of the world? Like, do you feel like you have to compartmentalize and, like, tell people? Like, do you tell everybody what you do?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, I mean, people always ask, you know, so what do you do? And I'm like, well, I'm a cam girl, because that's what I do. And then they ask what that is, and I have to give them a brief explanation. And usually I say that it's basically like being an online stripper. because you can't really know exactly what it is unless you're in my room, you know? Like, and people are usually very surprised by it. Like, if girls want to get into camming and they're not really sure about it, and I'm like, okay, we'll just come into my room and watch what happens in there. And they'll watch it and they're like, that's totally different than what I thought it was going to be like. And I'm like, yeah, it usually is.
So it sounds like you really love it, and it sounds like it's reasonably lucrative and that you would want to do it regardless of, like, some external stuff. So as that member asked, are you going to do this for the rest of your life? Like, does that sound, like, fun to you?
I think about that sometimes because it is any job where you work for yourself is very stressful. And there's always that panic of, like, am I going to make my goal this week? Am I going to, you know, or is it going to be totally dead? And there are some weeks on cam where it's just very, very slow. You know, people like family vacations or their paychecks haven't come in or whatever reason. It can be very, very slow. And on those weeks, it's just so stressful that I think all the time, I'm like, I need to figure out what I'm going to do to supplement camming. And I've got a lot there. I'm into so much. Like, I know I wanted to go to yoga teacher training and have that happen as well, which would be great on cam too, because, like, the whole time I'm going through the training, I could be doing yoga shows on cam and make, you know, all the money that I'm spending on training back. And then I do burlesque and go-go gigs and things like that. So there's all these little things that sort of supplement when it's slow on cam. But as I feel like as long as I'm having fun with it, I'm going to do it. You know, I don't care. And there are women on MFC that are in their 40s, 50s. You know, there's a fetish for older women, too. So you can literally do this until you die if you really wanted to. So who knows? I'm going to do it until it stops being fun for me.
I love it. This is, to me, one of the best parts of, like, our generation.
Yeah.
Is that people still definitely do go into jobs that they don't care about because they're stable and they make an X amount every week.
Yeah.
And they have health insurance and that sort of thing. That's definitely still a thing that people do. But our generation, I think, because of the change in the economy, doesn't expect that because they know that realistically that's harder to do than it ever was for, like, our parents' generation. And so we're, like, a generation of people taking from, like, a bunch of different things. And usually things that you give a shit about.
Yeah. So, like, it makes it easier.
Yeah. So you find, like, six different gigs, you find six different grinds, and you make them work and mishmash and, like, coordinate crazy schedules. But, like, I think that we've discovered, like, we can't expect that, like, whatever, college isn't going to equal $50,000 a year. That's just not a thing anymore. So you're gonna have to make it work. Might as well do something that you like.
And I was stuck at one of those 40-hour a week, X amount of money, health insurance. That's why I was stuck in Kentucky for so long. Because I graduated college and I went and got one of those jobs just to save up money so I can move somewhere better than Kentucky. And I just got stuck there because I depended on it. You know, and I didn't really know what to do to get out of that until I started camming. And I was like, oh, okay, well, here's a job I can take with me anywhere so I can still make this money and finally move away because I'm not stuck down trying to find a job in another state that I can't get to right now because I don't have the money to fly out there. And then it worked. Like, I'm here now, which is crazy to me because I've been trying to get here for a long time and just ended up getting stuck.
And it's like the jobs that provide the most flexibility and the most personal empowerment, like, those are the ones that if women take them, they tend to be judged.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a lot of a jealousy thing too. You know, it's people see that you're making it on your own and you're making it not working for somebody but yourself. And working for yourself is a hugely empowering thing anyway. And you see that and you get jealous. And what I've found, especially when I was in Kentucky still, is a lot of girls were hating on me because of that. And because it's like, oh, well, of course, you know, you can make that much money and you're working for yourself, but what are you having to do for it? You have to take your clothes off and you have to do this. And it's like, well, I don't mind doing that. Like, I masturbate all the time. I might as well get paid for it if somebody wants to watch, you know. I don't have a problem with it. Victimized because, you know, I'm doing these things for money that they would never allow themselves to do for one reason or another.
But there was a discussion with my Sex in the Media class this weekend, actually. It was like, the two industries where females are going to out-earn their male counterparts in the same industry are modeling, and then, you know, you're going to find along the spectrum of sexuality work.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two places. And
absolutely.
And I just, like, try to engage them in, like, so why are those, like, morally judged so much harsher than jobs? Like, so you make six figures, but your company obviously is causing river pollution.
Right.
And, like, you work for a bank that repossesses people's houses. Like, but the moral judgment is going to be on the sexual job.
Of course.
The ones where the females tend to be successful and be more valued for their sexuality.
It's like, I feel like it's a confidence thing. Like, a lot of women don't have the confidence to do it. And so they feel like the women that can do it are either too confident, or, you know, they call them sluts or whatever, like whatever made up word you want to call somebody that makes a living off of their body. And a lot of people think that maybe it's using your body instead of your brain. But what they don't realize is that so much goes into camming and, like, trying to figure out how to make money and planning things and playing games. And it's playing a game that you really have to use your brain. It's not just, like, here I am naked, because there's thousands of other girls that are doing other things that are getting tipped for it that aren't just standing around naked. You know, if every girl was just standing around naked, nobody would make any money, probably, because it would be boring, really. So yeah, there's a lot of thought that goes into it, and there's a lot of work that goes into it that people don't realize, and so they want to just judge quickly because it's like, oh, well, you obviously aren't smart enough to do something real. You have to take your clothes off for money. And it's so backwards.
Yeah. It's just what you, like, should be doing is Excel spreadsheets right now.
Yeah, exactly. I should be suffering in an office doing spreadsheets instead of sitting around in my underwear playing card games with people.
Yeah, obviously.
But it's obviously a necessary thing, though. I mean, people are going to watch porn. And there are women that come into my chat room, too. It's not just a totally male-dominated thing. Like, I get women that buy shows from me sometimes. And it's because people love porn. And people really love it when their porn can interact with them and talk to them and have a conversation and become friends. You know, like, chat room. It's basically like when people get on forums a lot. And they know people on the forums. And they can have conversations within the forums. It's the same thing, except it's in my chat room, and if you tip me, I will be naked, which is even better. You're discussing nerdy shit with a girl that has no clothes on. Like, that's perfect.
Win.
Everybody
win. Win. Yes. I love it. So, Ashev, if people want to find you, do they just search for you on
MFC?
Okay.
The link to my page, it's the way they do it is so weird, because I don't know that you can actually just go in and search for Ashelo, or I don't know. I've tried it, and I feel like it just, you get lost in all these, like, sea of girls. But there, everybody has their own URL, and mine is it's profiles.myfreecams.com/ashelow. Mm-hmm. It's the easiest way to find anybody, and I always link to it because it's so hard to navigate sometimes on MFC. That I always, when I post it on Twitter, like, I'm like, hey, I'm getting on cam right now, and I'll post a picture of what I'm wearing, and I'll link to it. So, like, on Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff.
So people can find you and all that kind of stuff pretty easily.
Yeah.
Right on. Any other places you want to direct people, let them know other stuff you're doing, anything you want to promote?
I'm trying to think. I know I've got a hula hoop. I do a hula hoop burlesque thing. And I've got a show coming up in Newark, oddly enough, at it's the Scarlet Artlesque that Gisella Rose puts on at this bar called Hell's Kitchen in Newark. And this will be the second one that I've done. And it's Gisella Rose's thing. And she does a suspension pool. And she does, like, a human pincushion act. Last time I was there, she did her pincushion act. And there was a latex fashion show. There was a pole dancer that was working there. And then I did my hula hoop thing. There was a bed of nails team that was there. So it's a really good time if you're in the Newark area. You know.
What day is that?
It is August 11th. Right. So it's a Sunday.
Y'all better get on it.
Definitely. And I told them I would do this. I have my MVPs, my MFC MVPs. They're the people that have tipped me at least 1,000 tokens in a single tip. And I told them I would give them a shout out and say hello to them. So hello to Mr. Exley and Funky D Monkey and Schultzy and Seattle Dan 90 and Calicia and Save It for War and Crush 5126 and Scumbro and Jim Jam and Mr. Skippo. I love you guys.
Well, that was beautiful.
Aww.
Yay, shout outs.
They're my friends.
I love the term friends. That's perfect. That's awesome. So, Asha, this has been super fun, and thank you so much for sharing all this cool stuff with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, everybody, go follow her, go find her, whatever. Do all the things you're supposed to do. Thank you all very much for listening, and have a good day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Sex with Timory, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimory.com, Sex with Timory on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timory_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you. Hey, Sex with Timory people, you should totally come join me at the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. It's August 1st through 3rd at Philomoka and Philly Camp. You can come out and see 3 nights of great Philly-based podcasts, and they're recording their shows live in front of you, the audience. The lineup for some of the shows includes Talkadelphia, Story Shuffle, Talking Nerdy, The Pincushion, Stark Raven Mad, Potent Brew, and of course me, Sex with Timory, and more. Plus, there's going to be special guests, contests. I'm bringing pole dancers, y'all. There's going to be a whole lot of excitement. So find out more information about the shows and tickets at phillypodfest.com.